welcome to the Decisory Group Podcast, where we dive into the stories, insights, and successes of our community. I'm your host, Jim Decisory, and I'm excited to kick off the new year with a fresh focus on health and fitness and how it can impact productivity in your business and or organization. This week, I have an incredible guest, Justin Reed. He is the co-owner of Burn Boot Camp alongside his wife, Tammy. He was born and raised in Bowling Green and is passionate about healthcare as a professional and an entrepreneur. After graduating from WKU in 2011 with a degree in nursing, he earned his master's degree as a family nurse practitioner in 2015. With experience in both family practice and urgent care, Justin and Tammy combined their expertise. She holds a degree in nutrition and is a certified personal trainer to launch their first Burn Boot Camp location in Nashville in 2022. They recently expanded their vision by opening a second location in Bowling Green in August. Together, they are dedicated to fostering a healthier, stronger community through transformative fitness experiences. Here's my conversation with Justin Reed. Justin Reed, welcome to the Decisory Group Podcast. Happy New Year.
Hey, happy New Year to you too. Thank you for having me.
Hey, glad you're here. You know, we've heard a lot about Burn Boot Camp. You're over there where Dick's Sporting Goods and the new Burlington is, I think, the Coat Factory. Tell us about Burn Boot Camp and how you got started in that business. When did you open? What's your origin story?
Sure, yeah. So Burn Boot Camp as a franchise opened in 2012 in a parking lot.
And in a parking lot?
Yes, in a parking lot. And he just had a couple nickels to rub together. And in his idea, it was women only at that time, but it was really a safe space for women to come. And then it progressed with, we have complimentary trial watch, so it kind of removed that barrier for women. And it progressed. And in 2015, they started franchising. And my first Burn Boot Camp experience was in 2018. And my wife and I were dating at the time, and that was just an activity that we loved to do together. And so we joined in 2018. She's a personal trainer and has a degree in nutrition. She ran an independent gym for a gentleman, and outside of just not doing the accounting, she was pretty much running the gym. And the more we fell in love with Burn, we took a leap of faith, and we said, okay, we're gonna open a location. So our first location was in Nashville in 2022.
And where is that in Nashville?
That's off Charlotte Pike. So just
sort of the West End, Southwest End area.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah. Yep. The Nation, Sylvan Park area.
And it's not too far from Loveless Cafe.
That's a good 30 minutes. Might be closer to Bowling Green.
Well, I mean, it's in that direction.
Yeah, that's right. Go 40.
So get your biscuits and then go burn workout.
That's right. Get you some simple carbs. And then we opened the one in Bowling Green in August of 24.
Okay.
And that was actually the original plan, was to open Bowling Green first, but West Nashville territory came available, so we opened that. But I knew that Bowling Green would always be a great community to bring Burn to.
And yeah. So where was the person that started Burn Boot Camp? Where did that originate?
Yeah, so that originated in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
And here recently we've started moving out west. We have a second headquarters location. So the first headquarters location, Charlotte, North Carolina, second is in Utah.
Okay.
And so we have over 450 locations now in the United States.
That's fantastic. Well, tell us a little bit about what Burn Boot Camp is. I mean, for those that don't know, what kind of activities do you do when you come to Burn Boot Camp?
Yeah, so Burn is a place for everybody.
Okay.
It's for someone that's never worked out, or it can be for that D1 athlete that's always worked out. We have modifications for everything. And I think the big thing with gym is it can be scary for some people, and so we want to remove that barrier. And we do that through having modifications for everybody and just having a great community, positive atmosphere. But in terms of what we do, we have camps, and so it's trainer-led, and it's group training, but with a one-on-one focus. So we have a certain training style that kind of helps us achieve that, and it's on a floating floor. So
a floating floor. So what is that?
Okay. So hundreds of foam blocks underneath pine wood, which is kind of flexible.
Yeah.
And then a gymnastic floor mat rolled on top. So it just gives spring and kind of lessons.
So it could take some it's not going to be hard on your knees or your ankles or anything like that if you're jumping around or doing anything like that.
No.
It helps absorb that impact.
That's right.
Okay.
It's perfect for that, to preserve those knees.
That's awesome. How's it been going in Bowling Green? I mean, you've been open since August.
Yeah. Had tremendous growth and really happy with the community we're building. We do some community outings and we just put a PR bell. So whenever you reach a new goal or a new height in the weight that you've been lifting, we ring this bell and everybody cheers. It's just, the energy is just unmatched. It's been amazing.
Yeah, a lot of positive energy, a great culture, and I'm hearing great things about it. I know Brooke, my daughter and partner in the DeCesar group, and my wife, they're like, we're going to go check that out.
Yeah.
And you get the first week free, right?
That's right. And hey, the new year right now, we've got a special going on 4 weeks for $59. So it's a really good way to get a good taste of it.
Well, you know, of course, this time of year, people start thinking about these New Year's resolutions, got to get in shape, got to, you know, get fit. And, you know, honestly, a lot of people don't stick with them. That's just part of it. But, you know, what are some of the effective strategies for setting achievable fitness goals for the new year? And how can individuals stay motivated throughout the year?
Yeah, have you ever read the book Traction?
I have not.
Okay. So a lot of businesses use this strategy and use this book for quarterly planning and goal meeting, but it takes rocks and then it puts small rocks under the big rocks. So, you know, effective goal planning. And so if you have a goal, so say it's weight loss, it's like, okay, how do you break that down more? If we're going to have meaningful change, we have to have a plan for that weight loss. So make it specific. Okay, I want 5 pound weight loss in 3 months. Okay, that's great. So how? You just have to keep asking, but how?
Yeah.
Okay, how many camps or how many times you're going to have to go to the gym?
Yeah.
You know, 5 times a week. Okay. How am I going to eat healthier? Am I going to have to do some meal planning? Okay. 4 days a week, I'm going to do meal planning. Is there a specific habit that you're doing that's bad? Are you drinking sodas daily?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I have 1 soda a week? So now we have a plan. 5 pound weight loss in 3 months. I have to go 5 times a week to the gym, one soda a week, and I'm going to meal plan. And so that's what brings about that meaningful change. You have to have intentionality behind it. So, you know, don't be overwhelmed by your goal, but break your goal down into smaller rocks.
Yeah. Smart goals, you know.
Yeah.
You know, specific, measurable, attainable, you know, the old the acronym.
Yeah,
and you know you talked about food. That's a big part of it because it's what you put in your body that you know creates the weight.
Yes, absolutely.
And some people, you know, they may go to the gym, but if they don't change their eating habits, you're not going to see a lot of change.
No, absolutely not. When they say 90 or 80-20 or 90-10, it really is.
That's the Pareto principle of, you know, 80% of your productivity comes from 20% of what you do.
Oh, so, I like that. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. So anyhow, we'll talk about, you know, you mentioned a fitness plan. Why is it important to stick with that? And what are the benefits of long-term commitment to a workout routine? You know, whether you're doing it in your home garage or you're doing it at Burn Boot Camp.
Yeah. Well, benefits for a long term. I mean, you have to look at the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
I practice medicine, and so I get a front window view of what I want my health to look like and what I don't want it to look like.
Right.
And so, the long term goal is to be able to be active and moving as pain free as possible for as long as possible, so that you know all this work you do for all these years that you can enjoy it when you retire, and that you can remain active and not be riddled by you know arthritis and inflexibility and poor strength.
Yeah.
So that's really the why. But in terms of what was the question on?
What is the potential benefits of a long term commitment to a workout routine?
Oh, cardiovascular health.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. And so when you're exercising, you're releasing real hormones and things that relax those blood vessels. So lowering the blood pressure, which is lowering the pressure that your heart has to beat against, and it lowers the bad cholesterol and increases the good cholesterol. And so long-term health benefits are endless with that.
Yeah.
But it has to be sustained, right? And so that's kind of the difficult thing in fitness is we often get on,
yeah,
on and off the bus a lot with it. And, you just have to create a healthy habit.
And, yeah. And you talk about habits and I may be going down a rabbit hole here, but you know, for me personally, and you mentioned arthritis, for those that listen to the podcast, they may know that my daughter had arthritis. She was diagnosed when she was 4. I've had it since I was 19. So it's had a huge impact on our family over the years. We just had our Jingle Bell run in November, raised $30,000 for the Arthritis Foundation. And I always say motion is lotion. You know, it's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. But it's going to hurt worse if you stay on the couch and don't get up at all. And go ahead.
Yeah, no. But if you're going to, you know, specifically your daughter, if she's going to create a healthy habit, she's going to have to tailor and pick an exercise that's good for her.
Yeah.
Right? Like running may not be her forte, but something lighter on the joints like swimming or yoga,
yeah,
may make her effectively, you know, efficient long term in keeping that goal because she's not hurting.
Yeah, and you know, I run a lot. I do trail running and road running all the time, and you know, it's a challenge to overcome some of the obstacles. But you know, if you stick with it and it's mind over matter, sometimes, you know, are you gonna let, you know, whatever ailment you have win, or are you gonna try to beat it?
Yes, sir.
And you do that by staying active. And so anyhow, and talking about habits, you know, habits take a while to form. You have to be doing it all the time until you figure out when you miss a couple days, you're like, I feel crappy, you know.
Yeah.
And you may not literally be in a crappy, you know, mindset, but it's a mental mindset that says, you know, I didn't work out this week and I feel it now.
Yeah, that guilty sensation is good, you know. Sometimes it holds you accountable. And I think the word habit, sometimes we have negative connotations with, because we think about our bad habits.
Yeah, there's lots of great habits, good habits.
Our
yeah.
days are full of good habits, and it has a habit is something that's hard to give up and that occurs routinely. And so if you're going to make your health a habit and you're going to exercise regularly and make it a habit, then it has to be a priority.
Yeah. And you know, that was my question, some of the effective techniques for establishing a consistent workout habit, and why developing these habits is important for achieving long-term fitness goals.
Yeah. That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And I think little things that help with habits are accountability. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to be held accountable? Is it a workout partner? You
yeah.
know, working out with someone that has like interests? Are you working towards a goal? You know, a Spartan race, a 5K, a half marathon.
Yeah.
You know, I know out west they do long trail runs.
Yeah. Yeah, I got one in February.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those are
yeah.
those are goals that create habits to yeah. work towards.
Yeah.
And but I also think, you know, time blocking is a great strategy.
I think that's one of the most effective strategies. Put it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but set the time aside, dedicate it to get out there and do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah. And if you can't figure out how to time block for exercise, then you have to spend time and thought and think, okay, what is my barrier? Oh, I've got, you know, I'm running the kids to sports. I'm doing laundry. I'm having to make dinners. Okay. So if that's the problem, how do I time block for that?
Mm-hmm.
How do I efficiently stay ahead of the house chores and do all the things for the kids, but still make time for myself? And if you can organize your life in that way, then the rest will follow. You don't always have to put exercise first. If you create habits and
yeah.
time block for those other things that are getting in the way, then it opens the door for exercise.
And you know, my team can see my calendar and, mm-hmm. you know, I have a time blocked out every day that I'm going to do my exercise, and I'll take one day off a week. I took last night off. I didn't run. I was supposed to, and I'm okay with that. After first year, you know, this time of year is when I start picking it up. But, you know, during the holidays, you kind of take it easy, eat a little more, and enjoy the holidays. And that's why we all have New Year's resolutions.
That's right.
Talk about how regular exercise can improve overall productivity for employees, because, you know, both in terms of physical health and mental well-being. If your employees are healthy and happy, that improves productivity, cuts down on absenteeism, and that helps the bottom line of a business as well. You know,
it absolutely does, and it's really hard to see that on a balance sheet. But I start off with saying this. This is kind of the speech I give to my patients. There's five pillars of life. Mm-hmm. You've got diet, exercise, sleep, work-life stress management, and spirituality. Mm-hmm. When a couple of those are off, a lot of them are off.
Yeah.
And when we don't feel well, we're not going to be productive at work.
Yeah.
You know, we can be irritated. And we've all worked jobs where we've gone in and had, you know, constant complaining. And then you even join in on the complaining when there's nothing to complain about. And then you have jobs that have been very joyful and great culture. And so I think it's really hard to quantify the benefits of exercise in terms of productivity for the employer. But we know that exercise, you're releasing endorphins that mm-hmm. create wakefulness. You're
yeah.
releasing dopamine, which helps with happiness. With exercise comes more confidence, and yeah. so less indecisiveness, more decisiveness,
yeah.
improved mood. With exercise comes improved sleep, so better concentration, better work performance at work. With anxiety, exercise is a great, mm-hmm. great outlet to really control that with other things. But
yeah.
Anxiety really, at least in my practice, what I see, people miss work for that. And
yeah.
they leave jobs. They think the job is the problem.
Yeah.
And they just need help managing their stress. So when I see businesses incentivize, discounts at gyms, and some have even taken it a step further where they, if you have so many steps a day for this many days, there's cash incentives.
And, yeah.
I think it's incredible that they take part in that and help with accountability for the employees, because they know that their employee is going to be happier. And in terms of retention, I mean, that's a huge overhead for companies, right?
Yeah. And you hit on something there. There are a lot of companies that do have wellness programs, and they'll pay, $50 a month for you to be a part of a gym or, be a part of some, burn boot camp or whatever. So if you're listening and you're an employer, think about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an employee, go ask your employer if they have that program, because sometimes people just, they don't even know. You got to ask.
It's definitely underutilized.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Talking about exercise or fitness programs, do you recommend what types of exercise or fitness programs do you recommend for individuals who are just starting their fitness journey in the new year? Because, my advice is start slow.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Don't set yourself up for failure. And so,
yeah.
If you're going to cook a dinner for the first time, you walk into the kitchen, you got pans and pots and food, you're going to get there and you're going to make a tasty dinner, but it's going to take you a long time to get to that, satisfying, tasty dinner.
Yeah.
So what I would recommend for someone for the first time is choose a place that has a leader that holds you accountable, that leads you, that shows you. I know when I started out in fitness, when I would go to the YMCA, I wouldn't want to do compound movements. It was fear of humiliation that, I didn't know how to do these exercises. So I would just stick with bench press and arm curls
yeah.
and not do the compound movements. And I think that's a huge barrier that Burn Boot Camp tries to remove, that, hey, this is a safe place. You're not judged. There's modifications for everything. But I think, if you've never worked out, starting 15 minutes a day, brisk walking, getting that heart rate up to about 120.
Yeah.
And then after the next week, add 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then do some interval training. So then do 5 minutes of walking, 3 minutes of jogging. Right. And
yeah.
then you start doing weights. Weights are very important.
You've
got to build muscle mass.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and when I first started running, I would do the, I'd run a minute, walk a minute, then I'd run 2 minutes, walk a minute, and run 3 minutes, walk a minute, and then run 4, and just build on, your progress.
Yeah. Take pride in that.
Yeah. And it takes time. You got to be patient.
Yes.
You're not going to see changes overnight. And I think that's the biggest thing with a lot of people is, I've been working out a month and I look the same.
Yeah.
But in 6 months, you'll go, holy cow, look at, I'm seeing changes. It takes time.
Yeah.
Because the body is a weird animal.
It is. And I think.
And everybody's different.
We all are. And how we get there is different. Our diet has to be different. But you got to know your why.
Yeah.
And you got to dig deeper into the why, because that emotion can carry you for a while. And then once you develop the habit, that discipline carries you the rest of the way. But you absolutely have to have a why.
Yeah. So if you want to know how to figure out your why, Simon Sinek has a nice 15-minute TED Talk on it. You watch that, you'll figure it out.
All right, I have to watch that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's the why guy. He wrote that book, and he has one of the most watched TED Talks in the history of TED Talk. So it's like 15 minutes, and it explains, you know, how you find your why.
Good.
So. We're both learning something here. I learned about the book that I didn't know about, and now you know about the TED Talk.
Yeah.
All right, so talking about individuals, how can they integrate exercise in their daily routines, especially when they have busy schedules, work commitments? Some of the tricks that if you're going to be in the office all day, or if you're just not going to be able to get to the gym or get to Burn Boot Camp, what can they do?
Yeah, and I think I touched on it earlier, yeah. Like with your daughter, like you have to choose a form of exercise that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
If you hate swimming, don't pick swimming. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
If you don't have an hour and a half to work out, then don't sign up for something or go to the gym that takes an hour and a half of your day. You can get a great workout at home. And so, and you can integrate that even with other gyms around the area. You can do plyo exercises, body weight squats,
mm-hmm.
body weight squats with jumps,
yeah,
planks, sit-ups, forward lunges, walking lunges, farmer's carries. You can carry, yeah. you know, household items 50 feet one way and 50 feet back.
Yep.
You can do that with shoulder shrugs.
Mm-hmm.
There's places around Bowling Green that you can go to and do pull-ups.
Yeah.
And
some of the parks have that equipment built into them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know as a younger adult, I always thought I had to work out for an hour. It does not have to be that. You
no.
can get a workout in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It may not be as good a workout as you would have liked, but the point is you're continuing your habit, you're staying moving, and you're continuing to condition yourself. So,
yeah.
There's a lot of ways, but you have to have accountability. And if you're not strong-willed enough to hold your own self accountable, that's when friends come into play. That's when personal trainers or gyms come into play.
Yep. And you know, if you have an hour for lunch, eat lunch for 15 minutes and go walk for 45, you know. You see a lot of people, you know, like downtown Bowling Green, you know, when they're on their lunch break, because you got women in dresses and men in suits, but they got a pair of tennis shoes on and they're taking a stroll around the square.
Yeah. And that's not by chance. They're intentionally doing that.
Yeah.
And I love it. Again, time blocking, making a specific time is the best way to do that. Because if we're just like, well, I'm going to work out today, and you wake up and you're like, oh, I'll do it later. And then you work and then you're tired. And then all the, you know, the busyness of life comes in, the after work duties. It may not happen. So,
yeah,
I think the point is to stay moving.
Yeah.
And it does not have to be an hour. It can be 20 minutes twice a week and an hour three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah. And build from there.
Yes.
I always look at things as how can you start and build on that growth and keep it moving and afford and keep the momentum going in the right direction.
That's empowering.
Yeah.
And there's so many life lessons just to come from that. You know, something as simple as exercise, but proving to yourself that you can do hard things.
Yeah.
And that you're disciplined enough, and it's that's satisfying.
It is. It is. And you know, you talked about accountability. If you want someone to help you be accountable, ask a friend.
Yeah.
Tell them. Give them orders. Don't. If you see me slacking off, get on me. Give someone that power, turn it over to them and let them rip into you if you're not doing what you committed to do.
I like that. Yeah. Give them permission. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. And especially with someone that you trust and someone that you respect and look up to, because that guilt that you feel for not running, you know, yesterday.
I don't feel guilty about yesterday. I'm good. I'll get a workout in today, and then, you know, it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. And you keep moving. But, yeah, I think having a friend that you respect and that you don't want to let down and they don't want to let down you, I think that's an effective
one. I got too many of them that keep me accountable. And but one of the things I wanted to mention also is sometimes you can overdo it. Listen to your body.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You do need breaks and rest.
Yeah.
You know, soreness is okay. Pain is not.
That's right.
And, you know, stretching and mobility is so, so important for later on in life. And so if you've overdone it, then
take a few days.
Yeah. Just walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your body will thank you.
Yep.
It will. And a lot of times when you take that time off, I've noticed that, you know, if you take 3 or 4 or 5 days off, you come back and you're stronger.
Yes.
Because your body's had, your muscles had time to heal up and feel better. And, you know, overall wellness of your body, you can't overwork your muscles. And then you're working out and you're getting no results.
Yeah.
So
we look like D1 athletes, but our body does take, we don't have the rehabilitation that they have, but yeah, there's small micro tears
like
in our
D7
muscles.
D7 athlete.
you get micro tears in your muscles and that's normal when you're working out and you do have to have time to recover and diet comes into play with that. Protein's
sure.
important, but yeah, absolutely. 3 days off is better than 2 months off because you've injured yourself.
Yeah. Well, if someone wants to check out Burn Boot Camp, where can we find out some information about what you all do?
Yeah, so Instagram is a good way. It's Burn Boot Camp Bowling Green, and there's a link on our Instagram page that'll take you to our webpage, which you can also Google us. And you just click Start My Trial, and we'll reach out to you and answer any questions or any reservations or apprehensions you may have. And when you come in, you'll be showed around the gym. You'll be introduced to a member. You'll be introduced to the trainer. You'll know exactly what to expect. So,
and is it true? Do y'all have childcare?
We have free child watch. Yeah. So it's a great room and it's fun to see those kids.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that's part of that goal setting. You know, you have to remove the barriers that keep you from getting to that. And we do that for working parents.
Yeah, because that's a big one sometimes. It's like, I want to go, but I got to watch my kids, you know. So
for sure.
Bring them.
Yeah, they can get rowdy for 45 minutes in there. We let them have fun. So
that's awesome. So, and we'll put a link in the show notes about how to check you out on the website or Instagram. I know Amy and Brooke were checking it out, and Amy says your social media is fire. So,
yeah, that's not on my wife and I's behalf. We've got some great employees, and they're very tech savvy.
Well, how many employees do you have?
We have 12
here in Bowling Green.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. So, you know, from a business standpoint, thank you for investing in Bowling Green and bringing Burn Boot Camp to the area. But more importantly, thank you for employing people.
Yeah, absolutely. We love Bowling Green, and we're supporting a lot of the Western students. We've got
awesome
Western students working with us. So.
Yeah, of course, you go Tops.
Yeah, go Tops.
Anyhow, hey, Justin, thanks for being on the DeCesare Group podcast.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure. I enjoyed it.
What a great conversation with Justin Reed with Burn Boot Camp. It's clear that his commitment to health and wellness is having a profound impact on our community. Hey, if you like today's episode, make sure you follow the DeCesare Group on Facebook, Instagram, X, LinkedIn, and YouTube to stay up to date. And don't forget the DeCesare Group podcast is available on all podcasting platforms. We welcome your positive reviews, and it's the perfect companion to our newsletter, Soakie Economic Development and Business News. Sign up today at thedecesaregroup.com to stay up to date with the latest news impacting business in South Central Kentucky. The DeCesare Group podcast is produced by the DeCesare Group, a public relations and consulting firm based in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our engineer is the mayor of Swolesville, Justin DeCesare, with content contributions from Brooke Mattingly and Amy DeCesare. Thank you for tuning in, and here's to a healthy and prosperous new year. I'm Jim DeCesare, and join us next time for the DeCesare Group podcast.